Hello, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly podcast where we discuss the most recent Global Commercial Property Monitor from RICS, the Royal Institution of Charter Surveyors. For those of you tuning in for the first time, in the next 20 minutes or so, we will be going through the results of a survey that interviews property practitioners from all over the world on sentiment in the real estate industry. Tarrant Parsons, economist with RICS, is joining me today for a chat on the report for the third quarter. Hello, Tarrant.
Hello, good to speak to you.
So, Tarrant, over the summer, the main change in the general economic environment has been the fact that some of the risks highlighted in previous survey results are materializing. Among them are rising trade tensions with an outright use of tariffs, a reversal of capital flows to emerging markets, and heightened political risks. All these factors are threatening to contribute towards a marked slowing in growth momentum as 2019 approaches. What markets are most likely to be affected by all this?
Oh, that's right. We have seen the use of tariffs materialize initially as a result of US trade policy and then the measures reciprocated by the nations that were targeted. But actually, if you look at global economic growth, it has only slowed, I would say, gradually at most over recent quarters. And the exact impact of these tariff measures at this stage is still unclear. And for the time being, funnily enough, growth at the global level is probably being supported most of all by a solid momentum in the US, where looser fiscal policy, the tax cuts have provided a boost, it seems. So although the tensions around trade could lead to a more severe slowdown going forward, there isn't much evidence as yet that this is already in motion, certainly from looking at the data. But sentiment has been affected, and that's not just in terms of our survey, but there does appear to be a real concern across China and Hong Kong, as well as other parts of Asia, about the risks here. So I'll highlight those markets as perhaps being more vulnerable than others. Aside from the trade theme, if I had to pick a market in which political risks are perhaps slightly higher, then Italy could be an example. I think going back to our survey results, around one third of our respondents feel that the new government could have a detrimental impact on the market, and a lot of this is centered on their fiscal plans, which would potentially increase the government deficit and raise Italy's already incredibly high levels of debt, and that could be something that could frighten investors.
Since you mentioned negative sentiment decreasing, the report does show that overall negative sentiment for occupiers and investors decreased. What do you think led to this decline?
Well, I think that is right, that the latest results show only a few markets in which overall occupier and investment sentiment is negative. I guess the reason for positivity in most parts of the world would just be linked to this solid job growth and economic expansion. So where firms are taking up more space, it's putting kind of downward pressure on vacancy rates and supporting the rental outlook. And so I think this strength, this strong income potential has been key in continuing to attract investors. And if you look at investment volumes globally, we are actually on track to slightly exceed last year's total on a global basis. I think in the year to date, investment is up by around 7%. And so I think given the fact that the current cycle does appear to be quite mature or extended, I don't think this was entirely anticipated at the beginning of the year. So better than expected investment flows have probably boosted survey sentiment in some areas.
European markets continue to lead the way in terms of growth, maybe stability. What are the main pillars of Europe's stability?
The European markets that are displaying the strongest momentum right now appear to be the Netherlands, Portugal, and then it's kind of a collection of Central and Eastern European nations, which would include Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Croatia. Now, in each of these markets, sentiment is strong both on the occupier and investor sides, and respondents are quite confident that we'll see further growth in both capital values and rents over the coming year. Conditions, I should say, are also solid in other parts of Europe as well, Spain, Germany and Ireland, for instance. But the difference here is the momentum doesn't seem to be quite as strong as what it was going back over the past couple of years. But generally speaking, most of Europe continues to display solid expectations for the year ahead.
Now, you did mention the late cycle, and the survey highlights the fact that this extended cycle might mean that some markets are more vulnerable to both macro surprises and industry-specific shocks. What markets are we talking about?
I'd say the markets that may perhaps be at least considered as slightly more vulnerable to these macro surprises would be those where prices are judged to have risen a bit out of line with fundamentals. For instance, from our survey results, we have over two-thirds of participants that view commercial real estate to be actually above fair value now in Germany, Japan and Switzerland. It's also the case in areas such as Austria, France and Hong Kong, if I just picked out six regions there. So the concern would be that if conditions did start to take a turn for the worse, then the investment activity, which has initially pushed these markets to such high levels, that could go into reverse just as quickly. And that's not to say that these markets are necessarily more likely to see a shock. It's just that these types of perceptions around values already being elevated could mean that you'd have a more cautious outlook in terms of how much scope that there could be for the markets pull back in what would be considered a severe downturn scenario. So slightly more scope to see a pullback in these markets where values have risen the furthest.
Are there any such events or shocks that might be prevented or predicted?
Well, I think that the nature of the commercial property sector does make it a highly cyclical industry, and periods of ups and downs are largely inevitable. But lessons can, of course, be learned from previous experiences. But the problem is the eventual trigger of the next downturn invariably has a different makeup of sorts. So that's a difficulty. Now, having said that, regulations that have been introduced since the global financial crisis, for instance, those on bank lending, they should help to ensure that the fallout from any periods of downturn is more contained. And so the point is that lower leverage or greater kind of capital reserves for commercial real estate lending, as well as in truth, more diversified sources of lending, should be able to curb to some extent anyway, the negative implications of such shocks. So in short, while I don't believe a downturn can be avoided altogether, the risks can be managed better. And that's what these regulations are attempting to do.
Now, recently, I've been to Munich for the Expo Real conference. And after discussions with some industry professionals in Britain, it almost seems like the issue of Brexit may have been a bit overstressed. Would you agree, or do you think there is something that still cannot be predicted when it comes to the outcomes of Brexit?
Personally, I wouldn't say the issue of Brexit has been overstressed. I still believe the final outcome will be incredibly important for the UK economy. Interestingly, a point that I would pick out from our survey results is that we have seen a noticeable rise in the proportion of respondents that are telling us that they have seen some evidence of businesses that are located in the UK are looking to move at least some part of their operations elsewhere. And that's that proportion has risen steadily as the deadline has moved closer. So perhaps the actual number of jobs that will be moved or maybe moved is still relatively small at this stage. But I feel the uncertainty seems to be causing a greater deal of hesitancy when it comes to occupiers making decisions, certainly than was the case perhaps a year or so ago.
Yeah, maybe we will have a clearer image next year, maybe after March.
Yeah, well, in recent days, we have actually seen quite substantial developments in the process. So Theresa May has now reached an agreement in principle with the EU negotiators on the withdrawal deal. But getting this approved through Parliament remains a huge obstacle. We've already seen resignations from our own cabinet, and by the sounds of things, the deal won't have great support from the opposition party either. So what happens in the event that this deal, it is rejected, remains very unclear, but the risk of what may be considered the most disruptive outcome, a no-deal departure, that certainly is not off the table despite the recent agreement. So I guess the short answer is that yes, we will have to wait a while longer because the whole process is incredibly unpredictable and still the entire range of outcomes remains possible despite recent developments.
Now let's jump a little bit from the UK to Australia. The situation there is definitely worth mentioning. Lending is getting tighter. Prices are expected to drop over the next years. I'm talking about property prices, leading to slower economic growth. The media even reported that this might be a test to see whether it's possible to prevent a downturn through a more cautionary lending environment. What are your views on the matter?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of this tightening in credit conditions or lending standards is linked to this kind of fallout from the Royal Commission investigation into the Australian financial services sector. And this is affecting lending practices across all property sectors. Now, in terms of the economy more generally, if we do see credit supply restricted in a sharp manner, then in my opinion, it certainly will be a headwind or a negative as far as the near-term growth is concerned. But to counter this, if you look at communication from the Reserve Bank of Australia, it certainly looks as if they're going to keep their key policy rate on hold at their record low of 1.5% at least over the next 18 months or so. So while lending practices or standards may have tightened due to there now being greater scrutiny, if I can say that, monetary policy is still going to be set in a manner which is extremely supportive for some time to come. And I think an important point to note also is that the central bank in Australia doesn't appear to be overly concerned at this stage that growth will slow in the economy.
So maybe saying or fearing a credit crunch is not really justified.
Well, I think the tightening in lending standards, what a lot of people are linking this to having a negative impact on investment into the housing market. So you can see that loans to investors, housing investors, are down quite heavily on an annual basis. But if you look, this kind of downward trend, it was evident before the Royal Commission. I think some around about the middle of 2016, you can see starting to come down, and perhaps recent developments have accelerated the trajectory. But you also have to account for the fact that Sydney and Melbourne are two heavily favoured markets for investors. And if prices are declining in these areas, then it could also partly explain why demand from investors could be falling in any case. Now, it's not sure what exactly has caused the decline, but that certainly would explain why investors may be shying away now. But overall, I do think it's certainly something to keep an eye on. Are our fears justified? Well, I would just say that for the time being, forecasts for the Australian economy aren't too downbeat, but that could change.
Now, regarding the United States, the report shows that the situation in general remains unchanged. Investment sentiment is still positive, with the exception of New York, where nearly half of respondents perceive this market as being in the downturn phase of the cycle. When should we expect things to change, and how exactly do you think things will change?
Yeah, well, feedback from our survey participants in New York, it has remained relatively unchanged over recent quarters. And so the perception is still that, I think, with the exception of the industrial sector, that rents and capital values are likely to come under some downward pressure over the next 12 months. But it's nothing more dramatic than that at this stage in terms of when we should expect this situation to change. Or that is very difficult to determine, because it's not as if we've seen any major adjustments. Prices are still very close to record highs in New York. And now we also have an offsetting impacts coming from where we've seen a recent pickup in economic growth, this pickup in momentum, and that should provide an even more solid foundation for the occupier market. But set against this, interest rates have continued to rise, and all else being equal, that will place upward pressure on cap rates. So there's some offsetting influences there. Although sentiment is downbeat, somewhat downbeat. I think the market is still at a very high level, and where it goes from here really will depend on how the economic cycle develops afterwards, and how many interest rate hikes we see, and how long this pickup in momentum across the economy is sustained for.
Is there a conclusion or like a general trend or general trends that apply to the rest of the country, so besides New York? Because survey results show that the respondents perceive the U.S., the nation as a whole, the country, as being in the peak phase of the cycle.
Yeah, the survey results do show that many respondents across the US as a whole view the market to be at its peak, but we actually still have a fairly large share that feel conditions are consistent with the middle of an expansion still. And in many ways, these mixed perceptions are understandable and quite consistent with other sources of data on the market. So if you look at investment volumes, these do remain very solid. I think over the past 12 months, there's been around $530 billion invested into the US commercial market. And although that is a strong figure in itself, it is down on the types of numbers we were seeing in 2015. So I think it reached around $570 billion back then. If you look at commercial property price indices, certainly those produced by the sources that we track, they show growth slowing quite noticeably, but still positive but slowing, and that could suggest that the market is coming to a bit of a plateau. So all of this does give the impression that we're reaching at least the peak phase of the cycle. There aren't any signs as yet that conditions are heading in a significantly less favorable direction, so perhaps this peak phase could go on for a while longer.
Moving on to the Middle East, overall feedback from the area remained cautious at best. Forward-looking indicators are negative. What do you think the next phase of the cycle will look like for the United Arab Emirates? And I'm asking because previous surveys have been showing similar results.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the near term, I think a further rebalancing in the market will be required. So the excess of supply that has been delivered over recent years, that needs to be absorbed. And that's going to mean that there's a continued downward adjustment in all likelihood in rents and increased incentives on offer from landlords in order to entice tenants. Now, this process may be quite drawn out, and expectations from our survey are even slightly negative out to the kind of 3-year time horizon. Now, that is quite a downbeat assessment. So if you look at things from a more positive angle, perhaps well, growth in the economy is anticipated to pick up this year to around 2%. And that is following an 8-year low of it was 0.8%, I believe, in 2017. And the government has announced more reforms and stimulus packages to help support the economy. And perhaps the quicker we see trends pick up in this respect, then maybe we're going to see a quicker recovery in the market beginning to emerge. So it's very dependent on how trends in the economy that then respond to these stimulus packages, I do feel.
Now, a few conclusions. We're approaching the end of the year. What can you tell us about 2018 in general? Could we draw a few conclusions to what we witnessed over the past 10, 11 months?
Overall, it must be said, I feel that sentiment across the commercial real estate sector from a global perspective, it has remained very resilient. That's in the face of considerable uncertainty stemming from both politics and economic policies in certain parts of the world. And you can see that other asset classes have perhaps been impacted by all of these concerns to a greater degree. Certainly, equity markets are down quite noticeably over the past couple of months. But going back to real estate, I think for many, this year has probably turned out to be a little stronger than anticipated. I'm not sure it was a consensus view that investment volumes would be on track to surpass last year's total at this stage, but that's the situation we have now. Of course, next year will possibly prove a greater test, as we'll see ECB quantitative easing, you know, having come to a stop. Global economic growth does seem set to continue to fade gradually, and then commercial real estate markets will likely have to contend with further interest rate hikes in some places as well. But overall, I would say 2018 has proved to be slightly stronger than many were envisaging at the start of the year.
And looking ahead, what are your expectations from the coming year? What are the main changes and challenges that we might expect?
I would say besides the impact that kind of changes and alteration in monetary policy conditions could have, which I just alluded to, I think the real pressure point for real estate markets is still going to be centered on what happens in the retail sector. It is becoming increasingly evident that as consumer preferences change, that certain retail outlets, the struggling shopping centers in particular, they need to see a real adjustment in values to kind of encompass the cost to the investor of possibly redeveloping some of these sites into a purpose which is in greater demand. So I think in areas such as the UK as well as the US, we're already seeing some signs of real stress across the retail sector. I feel that these markets are perhaps leading the trend as growth in online shopping has been particularly sharp. But that could mean that a lot of this pain across retail is still to come in certain parts of Europe. Now, it may be that the extent to which this is an issue varies from country to country, but that would be my main concern going into so next year. What exactly is going to happen in the retail sector?
Well, Taryn, thank you very much for your insight and for taking part in this discussion.
No, thank you very much. A pleasure to speak to you.
And we will catch up soon for the next RICS survey. Until then, have a wonderful week, everyone.